All right, we're going to go ahead and get this meeting started for the Ridley Planning Commission dated Thursday, August 3rd, 2017. If everyone please stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Face the flag, ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, Ellen, can we get a roll call for attendance, please?
Sure. Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Bissett?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Commissioner Perez?
Oh, yes, I have my mind somewhere else. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Chairman Custodio?
I am present, yes. All right, so now we're going to be, I'm going to do a disclaimer for the public comment. This provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on this agenda. So is there anybody from the public that wants to discuss anything that's not on the agenda? We can do it now. All right, please, for the record, there's no one. So we're going to go ahead and move on to agenda number one, which is the public hearing. I'm going to go ahead and give it over to staff. So Ellen Moore, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. Yeah, we don't have minutes today, but since we will be meeting pretty soon, I will bring both of them in, just as an aside. And also another housekeeping item, I do apologize for the condition of the screen. I think the way to fix it is to actually, like, you know, drill a hole or something through that equipment and figure it out. So I'm not going to do that. So I did provide the PowerPoint slides with you today, and if anybody else comes in, they can take a look at that. But I'll still have this, so just, okay. Yeah, just because the pictures are a little better, not much better. But as the chairman said, tonight we're looking at conditional use permit application number 2017-3, which is the new construction of a restaurant and bar on 765 North Columbia. If you can make out the picture on the screen, if not, it is in your packet. This is it's considered an infill development since it's surrounded by urban uses, so it's been kind of a bypassed parcel until now, potentially. It has frontage on North Columbia Avenue, and there is an alley along the southern part of it. Moving on to the next slide, this is just a close-up of the property and just showing that it's across the street from Ace Hardware, which is part of the Town and Country Shopping Center, and then along the hypotenuse of the triangle is the Papa Murphy's and Adventist Health Clinic building. And then south of the property is that alley there, and then there are single-family residential houses there as well. So moving to the next slide, this is a site plan of the proposed restaurant. It's pretty much a building and two portions for parking. The main parking lot has 13 spaces, and it takes access off of North Columbia Avenue. So the front of the restaurant will be facing North Columbia Avenue. And then we have about a 2,500 square foot restaurant, a little bit less than that, with some parking in the back, and then the trash enclosure is to the west, on the western end. Moving into the operations, this is going to be a proposed restaurant with a bar. The license type from the State Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, also known as ABC. The applicant is requesting a Type 47 license, which is to sell beer, wine, and spirits at a bona fide eating place. And so this is actually the only proposed Type 47 license in the area. In the census tract, this area, it has the Save Mart Shopping Center, Town and Country Shopping Center, and then a lot of the commercial on Manning. So there are quite a few licenses in the area, but they're either convenience stores or they just have beer and wine at the eating place. There are 60 seats proposed in the restaurant, and once we get to the floor plan, I'll go into that a little bit more. But the proposed hours of operation are Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. and then from Friday to Sunday from 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. And then there also is an outdoor area proposed with an outdoor grill. So it's a temporary grill, so you can the owners can move it in and out and use it for special occasions and something like that. The applicant is also proposing to have live music and karaoke on the weekends, on Friday and through Sunday. And so, as expected, that does generate noise in the building. So the applicant has done a couple of things to help reduce the noise to the neighbors and to reduce the noise heard from outside. The stage is located on the southern part of the building, so it is close to the alley, but the reason it is there is because there are no windows on that wall, so there won't be, all the windows are on the other side, so that wall will be a solid wall that's closest to the residences, and the firewall, it'll actually be a thicker wall than usual. It'll be a two-hour firewall. It's usually 1 hour. Oh, that means
that... Can you explain what that means, please?
Sure, absolutely. So that's, it's basically talking about the thickness of walls, but the hour portion of it means that how long it would take for a fire to actually get through the wall. So it takes an hour for an hour, for a one-hour firewall, 2 hours for a two-hour firewall. So, yeah, it's essentially the thickness of the wall and then the material inside it that makes it more fire-resistant or something like that.
And so this is proposed 2 hours?
It is proposed 2 hours.
For that wall, specifically?
For that wall, yes. I think it is, for the elevation, it might be all of the walls. Let me check. Yeah, I did mention that the same type of insulation, at least, is on all four sides. But the two-hour firewall may be, I think it's just on that wall. But we can look into that with the contractor and the applicant. The other, as I mentioned, there's some soundproofing insulation. There's different types that can reduce sound, so they're wanting to go with one that's a little thicker, and so it provides more of a sound barrier. And then there are no doors that are opening directly into the alley. So they do have, there's three doors. One of them's employee only because it leads into the kitchen. There's another one that goes into the patio area, and then there is the main entrance. So if, you know, if the door keeps opening, it's not right next to where the residential areas are. It's on a different side of it. So as you can see on the site plan, there are 15 parking spaces. There's 13 in the front and then two in the back in the small parking area. And this is a commercially zoned piece. The general plan designation is community commercial. The zoning is central and community commercial. So this... if we move on to the next slide, this is an approximate site plan and where things will be situated in relation to the surrounding area, so that you can just kind of see where the building may line up on the site. So it is kind of where some backyards are for the residential folks, so there isn't buildings right directly next to the building there. So just wanted to show that. So. Don't 100% quote me on it because it is just kind of scaling it. So I got it to scale as much as I could. So that's generally what it'll look like. And this is the next slide is the floor plan, and you really can't see it on the screen, so I apologize for that. But at the bottom portion of the screen is the entry portal. So that's where people would get out of the parking lot to go into the restaurant. And on the floor plan, they show there's to the right, there's a dining area with four tables. And what I found out recently, embarrassingly enough, is that there are booths along the windows. So the seating count that I had in the staff report, actually, it didn't count the booths. So let the record show that it does count the booths now. And I did provide revisions to the staff report to reflect that.
Can you show us where those booths are?
Sure. So if you go to the entry and then you go to the right along the wall, those lines that are right there, and then with that corner piece,
right here.
Do you recognize that?
Okay, even better.
Yeah, I do. I did have a site plan for you.
This right here?
Corner piece.
Mm-hmm. It's going to wrap around like that.
Right. On the right hand side, it's going to wrap around.
So is it going to be booth on one side and chair on the?
It'll be a chair in the middle. In the middle of the floor, the booths will be along the wall.
Okay.
On that corner, yeah.
This is all booths.
Yes.
These booths will be gone.
Take this out?
Yeah,
so when I was counting the booths, because our parking requirement is based on the number of seats. Mm-hmm. So because it's an interesting lot, it's triangular shape, so there's only so much you can put on that lot. There's only so many parking spaces. So in order to meet the parking requirement, the number of seats has to be 60, because you do 60 divided by 4 seats is 15 parking spaces. So there are 15 parking spaces. So the site or the floor plan as it's shown right now, in the left room, there are 4 booths along the window as well. So there would have to be 12 seats that have to be removed. And so I'm giving the flexibility to figure out where that is to the applicant. So I added a condition of approval that specified the maximum amount of seats, so that if they wanted to take out some chairs in the other room or something like that, then they can do that. But as long as they have 60 seats, if that makes
60
sense.
60-seat maximum.
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would that change if they add more parking?
That would, if they add more parking, they can have more seats.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with this, I believe I counted 72 as it is right now. So then I can't do math in my head anymore, but if you it's maybe 2 or 3 or 4 more parking spaces that they can add. So if they're able to rearrange it to add more parking spaces, then they can have more seats.
Okay.
So for the parking that they're required to have per the seats, do they have to do the landscape like Emmanuel did when we did their project?
Do they have to do landscape?
You know how they have the landscaping that wastes room, in my opinion. But I just don't want to make a decision on something and someone come back later and say, hey, did you guys not pay attention?
Is there a landscaping component
Or there's
requirement?
Not for this type?
For the parking lot, there is, I think it's maybe 10% has to be landscaped, if I remember correctly. So they do have landscaping area along the sidewalk, or it'll be behind the sidewalk. So they do show some of that on there, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Ellen, the parking doesn't include employee parking? That's not factored in this?
It is not. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's just general parking spaces, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Moving to the next slide is the elevations for the building. So the bottom left-hand image is what you will see from North Columbia. So it looks good architecturally, and it has, so there's a pop-out, so there's a kind of a patio cover over for a couple feet before you get to the actual building. So yeah, in the staff report, yeah, it's a 520 square foot covered entryway. So that's what you see in the foreground there. And then the bottom right hand image is the view from the alley. So just confirming that there are no windows there. And then if you are looking from the medical clinic, or I guess you could say 11th Street, but you'll have buildings in front of it. But that is the view there. And then the top left hand is the view from, if you were in the back parking lot, that's what you'd see. So those also don't have windows, but that is the employee access door. So something I did want to point out, just for everyone's information, this is a picture that I took on North Columbia Avenue on a Wednesday at 8 a.m. So this is in front of the project. So just to reflect that there is a lot of parking that is there during the day. And my guess is that it is from the Adventist Health Clinic. And then if you look a little closer at that picture, there's still available parking spots in that clinic, but or in the parking lot for that. But I'm assuming employees will be parking on right here so that the patients don't have to walk as far. So this is something that that we can't really do anything about at this time because it is street parking and anybody can park there, but this is just something to keep in mind. But if you look at that same area after work, after 5 p.m., I took these at 6 p.m., there's hardly any cars. So there won't be any issues if there's overflow parking with this project. They will have plenty of room to park there.
Actually, in that same area, there's parking on both sides.
Mm-hmm. There is, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Both sides of the street? Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. That's a good point. Yeah, this picture is only for that side of the street. So there is, where Ace Hardware is, that building on the right, they do have, it's parking on both sides.
Correct. And I was there when they were coming, the people from the center, or urgent center, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
were coming out. They were parked on the opposite side of the street.
Oh, mm-hmm.
They weren't parked along there, I thought was pretty funny when you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's nice of them to.
They're already making room for them.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're already making room. So moving on to the next page, I wanted to go through a couple of notable conditions of approval. The first being that this is a conditional use permit because of the fact that there will be alcohol sales and that there will be a bar. If it was a normal restaurant, it would just go through the site plan review process, which staff can do in-house, and then it can be built. But interestingly enough, as I mentioned, there's quite a few ABC licenses in that area right now. And the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, they limit the number of licenses that you can have in a certain area. But they do give discretion to local agencies as to whether they want to allow more licenses or not. So I believe right now, I think that area has 7, and right now they have 8 or 9. It's in the staff report under the police department's comments. So it is, according to our code, it is up to the city council to decide whether they want to add this additional liquor license. But it is up to you guys to approve the authorization of the ABC license with further direction from council, and to actually approve the restaurant itself. So if it is approved tonight, then the restaurant can go forward contingent upon, and the ABC license can go forward contingent upon council's approval, if that makes sense. So if whatever happens at council, if they're okay with adding another license, then you can see that you will see the restaurant be constructed. And if they decide to deny it, then they can still have the restaurant. It is up to the applicant to build the restaurant without the bar. So in case you hear that it didn't work out, then they can do that. But as mentioned, just kind of going through all of the potential options. The other condition of approval that was included was restricting the hours in the patio. So those were restricted from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So on weekends, it'll close 2 hours early just so that the noise outside, if people are out there sitting into the evening, that they're not out there for that long. And then, as mentioned before, staff is recommending that that a condition be added that says a maximum of 60 seats shall be allowed in this business in order to be in compliance with parking requirements. So we did discuss that. So I did provide a page that has that condition added in there. So that does mean that we have to do a little bit of a housekeeping item. So if the commission decides to approve, then you would have to approve the resolution as amended. So we can get to that when we get to that. So speaking of recommendations, staff's recommendation is to approve resolution number 2017-5 as amended, which includes the approval of environmental assessment 2017-4, determining that the project is exempt from CEQA. And staff also recommends approval of conditional use permit application number 2017-3. And so these are two separate items, but they are included in the entire resolution. So if you move to approve the entire resolution, you are moving to approve both items. So that is that concludes my report. I do have an email that was sent to me that I can read during public comment. So if you guys have any questions for me right now, you're welcome to ask me, or we can move on to public comment. Yes, Pete.
I was looking at the site plan, and I didn't see on the legend, is there an existing fence along the alley? A proposed fence of any type?
So our municipal code does require the construction of a block wall. If it is across a commercial land use is across the alley from a residential area. So that would be something that would have to be done here. It will get a little interesting because there still is access off of the alley. So if there is a block wall, it'll be kind of on the front half. So kind of to separate the sidewalk and the parking lot from the alley.
But the site plan doesn't show that.
The site plan does not show it. It is included in the conditions of approval because it was not shown.
And then can you point out to me where the barbecue is going to take place?
Sure. So it'll actually be in the northernmost corner. So it'll be kind of next to
grill area. Okay, I see it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. My next question is, should we approve this and we find, because of the proximity of the residential areas, that the noise factor, that we start getting any complaints, what is our course of action on changing the conditions?
Sure. As mentioned in the conditions of approval, there is something that specifically calls out exactly what you just said. So the procedure would be to, if there is noise that can be heard after hours or even during those hours, there can be noise complaints that would go through the police department, and that would include citations. And if there are frequent complaints, then we can come back and ask to have the live music be stopped, or the karaoke to be stopped. Yes.
I think that's all the questions I have at this time, unless somebody brings up something interesting.
Right.
That points mm-hmm. something out.
Okay.
Ellen, I have one. Sure. Was there, with the talk with the owner, was there any consideration when this whole thing came up, I don't know if that's your area, of why the restaurant is pointing towards Columbia and not towards the other businesses, like switching it so the back part is along the alley and the mm-hmm. entrance is towards Papa Murphy's and everything, kind of making it unified there. Was there any talk about why that? I mean, because it looks like there would be more space if it was the other way. I'm just wondering, because
sure, so kind
it's
of
it's not a big space. I passed by there and I was like, wow, this is not very big, so right. mm-hmm. you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's true, that's a good point. There wasn't any discussion of that when we were talking about it. Usually so you mean actually connecting the parking lots and everything?
Yeah.
Or yeah, so if that were to occur, it's usually easier when the property ownership is shared, and that is not the case here. So this property is currently owned by the potential owner of the restaurant, who is here this evening, and then the clinic I think is owned by like a company or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's possible, and you can do cross access agreements and that sort of thing. But ultimately, that wasn't the decision that was made for it. But mm-hmm. it's a good point.
Okay. Pete asked all my questions, so.
Okay.
Took my thunder. yeah, commissioners, any other questions for Ellen? Any concerns, anything we want to know before we...
My only other concern, we already have discussed part of it, but I'm wondering if the people who have already finished doing business... It's going to be perfectly fine for the employees to use that lot. Because, like, where we are, we have a place for, you know, them to go in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want, I'm excited about getting another restaurant in town, honestly. Sure. I wish it was downtown. However, I think when you're looking at parking and you're telling people, okay, this is what we need to do, I think we need to have those things figured out beforehand. So what I was thinking is if we had an agreement with them that after you have concluded business, can we work something out?
Oh, I see. So
is there anything that's just not something the city gets involved in?
We can do that, but we do have to have, or we can ask for that, but whether it's executed or not is kind of out of our control in this sure. instance, because, it's not a condition of approval in this case, so right. That would be why. So are you, your idea or suggestion would be to have the restaurant use the Adventist parking lot? Or vice versa.
Well, we have a college that uses a church's parking lot, and that's just mm-hmm. part of small community in my world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think of it the same way. Can mm-hmm. we help each other mm-hmm. achieve a goal that is good for Reedley,
sure.
yet doesn't bother your business at all?
Right, mm-hmm. especially after hours when they're off at 5 sure. o'clock and mm-hmm. it's empty. I just pass by there, and they're leaving at 4:30, and it's mm-hmm. empty. So.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think the daytime is the challenge. When I was over at Ace the other day, I mm-hmm. went, holy cow, they must be having some kind of a huge meeting, and everybody brought their car because this is craziness. It looks like a circus out here.
Right,
but
right.
it was daytime.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, the concern, I'm sure, with the neighbors and everything, too, is that will that parking start trickling over into the residential neighborhood?
And then they don't yeah. have anything in front of their own home.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that definitely, that makes sense. Actually, in looking at the site, there actually is parking for Camacho Park, which is maybe a block away at
oh,
the
yeah.
end of yeah. Columbia.
Where it dead ends and then you have mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I won't tell anybody or say anything if somebody wants to use that. It is farther of a walk, but for some people that may be okay. So that's something. But then again, they are driving through the residential neighborhood.
After two margaritas, I guarantee I ain't going to walk that far.
True, but you might need to walk it off, though.
We have a green taxi.
That's
Uber.
True.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Ellen, so just so we can put it on the record, in the resolution here, there will be a brick wall along the
alley.
Mm-hmm.
In the alley.
Yeah, it'll be. It'll
I
be.
I saw 7 feet.
Yeah.
6 feet.
It is 7 feet in the. Yeah, it is seven. Mm-hmm.
Which is better.
It is.
For
yes.
the residents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay.
Right. The something that as far as line of sight distance, so if it goes all the way up to, I know in alleys we have fences that go all the way up to it, so there it is possible that the wall might be tapered down.
Right.
I'd you know, closer to the closer
Columbia.
To the street. Yeah, yep. closer to
as
Columbia.
It goes into the parking lot into
mm-hmm.
the thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. 20 feet, right? Mm-hmm. Well, so if it's 20 feet back, that's pretty far back. So it can taper down. Yes,
right.
It can taper down along the front yard because that technically is the front yard. So a block wall is a good idea so that you know you don't. So folks can't loiter in the alley.
Right.
They have to walk a little farther.
And once you're in the alley, you're in people's backyard fences,
mm-hmm.
fence lines and things of that nature. Plus,
mm-hmm.
I think it probably gives another barrier of sound just in case when they open the door, the front door, the sound
right.
is going to emanate from, you know, from the restaurant, and there's at least a wall there.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see that on here, install a block wall along the alley per condition C187. So
correct.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as I mentioned, the when there's access on the alley in the back, it's a little challenging to put
right.
up a block wall, but there should be something
where the other parking structures are at. There will be no wall there.
There won't.
It will be just along where the restaurant ends, and then go towards Columbia, and then taper off if it has to.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. And something that we'll talk to the contractor about is the. Because there is a sidewalk right now, so if
right.
you keep the sidewalk and then you put the block wall along that little place between the building and the block wall, you kind of need to gate that and close that off to the public because people might start loitering back there too,
right.
so that's something we're going to look at
okay.
as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Anyone else? All right, thank you, Ellen. So we're going to go ahead and open this up for public comment. Do we have anyone here that...
Yeah, I did have an email. Did someone else... Yeah, I can, if you don't mind, I would like to go ahead and read that first.
Sure. So this is part of the public comment, so go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's my email.
Do you need this?
Okay, so I did have a conversation with the neighbor that lives on the corner of Myrtle and Columbia. So she did come in to look at the site plans and the floor plan, and she also, we emailed back and forth a few times with questions and everything. So I did pass out that email to you, but I did want to include it in the public record, and you can also see some of my responses to her. So we did have this neighbor, the email reads, "Good afternoon, Ellen. Please see my objections to the construction of the proposed 2,231 square foot restaurant bar with a 520 square foot covered entryway at 765 North Columbia Avenue. Please feel free to reply to my list." So she had asked the question of the total occupancy allowed for the building, and then she did count the 16 seats, 12 seats, and the bar with the live music until closing, and then included the small stage. So she was concerned with the noise pollution in the residential area, did claim that the soundproofing was not enough. As far as the sale and serving of alcoholic beverages, I did not disclose the hours of operation to her at the time. So the she was assuming that it was till early a.m. hours, 7 days a week. There's the potential for sales to minors and people being drunk and disorderly. Also had concerns with vandalism and damages to adjoining properties, including graffiti. She was concerned about loitering on the sidewalk facing the alley on the south side of the proposed building. Talked about how there's no lighting in the alley. Concerns with trash, squatters, rodents, and insects and pests, as well as sanitation concerns. Also, she was concerned about the traffic congestion from Columbia Avenue to 11th Street, that the traffic is heavy on those streets. And since the intersection is closed on North and Stevens, which is it's south of the project, but it is closed there, and then the traffic coming and going to the shopping center. So it's assumed that there will be increased pedestrian traffic as a result of this project, speed violations on Columbia and Myrtle, as well as potential for drunk drivers. So I can respond to these now, but I did want to make sure there wasn't any public comment first, so we can have that full discussion if you'd like. I can respond now, or...
I'm good.
Yeah. I see with the emails that you went back and forth, it's you mm-hmm. answered some questions.
So. Yes, I did. So I did explain the booth thing where I didn't count all of the booths. So I did disclose that to her. And so it did so that the restaurant will have 60 seats. And then I did check with our building official about the total occupancy of the building. So the maximum can be 74, including customers and employees. So our parking requirements do not account for that increase, but there is availability on the street and potentially in the clinic parking lot. I did clarify the hours from that were Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. And so I did mention the parking requirements in the code, and then just the fact that depending on the use and depending on the day, there may be a lot of traffic, there may be not so much traffic after work. And then for the graffiti removal and noise violations and alcohol-related violations. We do have current federal, state, and local laws that address these concerns. Graffiti is required to be removed within 48 hours of it being noticed, it is the property owner's responsibility for it to be removed. So if it is the block wall at the restaurant owner will be required to remove it. Applicant will also be required to submit a lighting plan upon building permit submittal to address the question about lighting. And then the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control does go through their own process to issue ABC licenses, and they do inspections, and the employees are supposed to have training to make sure they're not over-serving, and that if they can identify minors and that sort of thing. So a lot of these things that are mentioned can be prevented. I do understand the concerns that go along with that, but there are rules that try to prevent that as much as possible. And then, as mentioned, if there are noise concerns, I intend to be communicating with the business owner as much as possible to make sure that there aren't a lot of that there aren't too many concerns, and then we will go from there if we have to. So she did have one other question about where the doors are, and so confirm that there isn't one in the alley, and then I didn't have any questions, and she did say thank you for that. So
you did respond to that alley question?
I did, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I apologize. I don't have the full email chain, but I did okay. Respond to that for her.
Thank you. Thank you. Do we have the applicant here?
We do, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Hector Gonzalez is here.
Hector, I have a question. Why don't you come up, please? Yes, why don't you come up to the podium there? If you don't mind saying your first and last name and your address, please.
How are we doing? My name is Hector Gonzalez, and I live in Dainuba, 1640 Acres Way in Dainuba. And I've been in business for 17 years. I used to own a restaurant in Modesto, since which I have a project with a friend of mine that owns five taquerias around. I moved to this area, and this area has been really good to the business, or to our family and stuff. And I've been here 3 years, and I wanted the opportunity to provide really some food and some drinks, and you know, have a bar, have everything. This is our, like, basically family business, my first big project. Well, the restaurant that I have is really, real, really nice. I do have live music in there. I have some security, and you know, and I'm attentive to, you know, I put the most that I can to have it on the conditional use permit, but my idea is first, I'm not gonna have the live music at the moment, so I wanted to see, because the other restaurant, I have some live music, and this one, I wanted to keep it more family. It's over there as family as well, but I want to have the permit just in case business doesn't go well. We'll put some music in there, or, you know, have all the options for the restaurant to be successful, because it is a tough business. It's not an easy business, but it's what I've been doing for a long time, and I love customer service, and that's what I want, you know, the opportunity to work in this area. Okay. You have questions for me?
Questions for Mr. Gonzalez?
Just a personal question, Mr. Gonzalez. How is this going to differ from your competition? We have, as you well know, you did your homework.
Yeah.
How are you going to differ from the rest of the Mexican restaurants that we have here in town?
One of the main thing would be the bar. It would be the full 47's liquor license. That's one of the main concern. Not concern, but that's, you know, if you get off of work, you want to have a little margarita and, you know, go home, and that would be the bar atmosphere. And no, we have a really amazing restaurant around here as well, you know, which Taco Tijuana is really good, but our stuff is a little bit different.
Explain that. Is it a certain region that your food comes from? Is it, I mean, do you have, I mean, you said it's in Mariscos del Camarón?
Yeah.
Is it, so is it based on a certain part of?
Yeah, I want to work, this one I wanted it, because which, I wanted to work a little bit different to start, like, you know, have some good chile verdes, some sopitos, all the Mexican food that we have, but the grill itself outside, you know, we barbecue outside and go inside and take it in and maybe have, a lot of people like to see that, like the pollos and cut it with some whole beans and, you know, I don't see that around here. They don't serve that. Like, I'll start barbecue, going inside and, you know, and serve it on the table, basically.
So the barbecue pit area would be for your cooks to cook a meat and then bring it inside. It would be for someone like us or you promoting something like, hey, I'm selling boils right here in the corner.
No.
Something for an additional kind of taste.
Exactly, yes.
And you bring it inside the
restaurant. Yeah, I wanted to have the most options that I can to change, you know, to see what. You never know when everything start. Like, it's funny because when I did my menu, and just people just start choosing. Oh, I like this. I like this. I did second option on the menu, and I removed whatever they don't want it, and add more stuff to see what else it can bring. But it's basically the bar would be one of my preference. You know, to have some handmade margaritas or, you know, fresh fruit or something that will attract, you know, customers to go and have a good time and to take their family, because we work hard and we want. I love going eat. I eat a lot and outside, so I go to different places to enjoy myself and relax. You know, this also probably really needs something like that as well.
I have a second question for
yes.
you. On the corner of Katy and Manning. I was referring to the name of your restaurant. Did they change their name of their restaurant too? Because it's confusing to me, because they're Marisco something also.
No, they're
tacos. Did they change their name?
Well, it's still the same. It's Tijuana.
It's Tacos Tijuana.
Tacos Tijuana.
So they changed it when they remodeled then?
No, it's still the same. Tijuana.
It always has?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Their sign is kind of old and...
They remodeled the business.
Mariscos means seafood.
Yeah.
So it reflects seafood, but
so does it still say that?
From what I understand, it does say that.
That's what's confusing.
But it's Tacos Tijuana. That's a Fresno. Based. Okay.
And my third question is: when do you anticipate opening? Should the council and us approve it? Opening day. What's your vision?
Good question. I don't know. Well, I was talking to Helen. It takes about 5 months, right, to review the building, the plan, you know? So I don't know. I wish I can be 8 months from now or a year from now. But as far as, I mean, I just bought a property, a ranch, and it just, you know, my time, I was like, oh, I'm going to finish in a month and move forward, you know, but all the building and all the, what's it called, inspectors going in there, make sure everything's right. So I don't have a timeline, but to me, I don't know, year and a half from now, is that a good answer? Okay.
So it's not something that you're thinking about, like, oh, it's going to be like a 5 year out, like, I'm not worried about it right now. If it was up to you, you would be.
Yeah, you would have definitely. I mean, you put a lot of money into something. You definitely wanted to work as soon as possible. Uh-huh.
Well, you answered my question about live events, because I had some, not concerns, but I wanted to know some questions.
Yes.
So just so I can get this straight, you said that when or if the restaurant opens, the live events are not going to be something you're going to focus right away. It's something that you're going to work up.
Yeah, definitely, yes. Uh-huh. But I'm a musician myself. In our culture in Mexico, every time, like, if you go to a restaurant, they have, like, either mariachi or they have live music or they have norteño. So it's, and it's, it's funny because, I mean, some people look for that, but as well, some other people look for be relaxed, talk to each other, and you know, there's something that I wanted to focus as well first, you know. I wanted to have all my options open to the restaurant to be successful. Uh-huh.
Okay. So the question I have is about security. Will you start with security and then see where that takes you, or is that something you were going to implement once you did live music, karaoke, and the like?
As soon as I start doing karaoke or live music, I will have some security there.
Are you going to use the same company you currently use?
It all depends. I could use, I mean, the one that I'm working on right now, it's really good. Mm-hmm. They're working pretty fine for me. But it's funny because sometimes they send you good ones, and sometimes they send you just kids like texting outside, you know? So, yeah, it's not the one that I'm working with. It's pretty good right now, so probably use the same one. Mm-hmm.
I looked through the analysis of the different calls for your current location.
Okay.
I want to commend you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Very little trouble at all.
Right.
Officers walk through. You might have an alarm problem. They come and see that. But, I mean, as far as altercations within, mm-hmm. because of alcohol or people just not using their thought process right, I will just put it like that. You just didn't have any of that stuff. There just wasn't much on this report for the last couple of years.
That's good.
Excellent.
I did see that there was a lot of alarms. Is that when the alarm goes off, do you get notified?
You know, their windows, structure, it just go. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
A lot of company call us at 1 or 2 in the morning. So
okay.
I just leave right behind the restaurant.
Okay. But you have it to where they call you and PD at the same time? Or if you don't answer, they call PD?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there's just so many options. I wondered how you
set it up.
Yeah, because
sometimes either my employees didn't put the alarm right, or there's a new employee that is going to close that day, and that happened to me before. It's kind of loud. And, you know, to call and then the police shows up, yeah, which is good. I mean, there in Dinuva, you have a call, boom. Like a minute from now, the police is there already. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Gonzalez?
We will make some good chili over there, okay?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak upon this behalf or about this resolution in front of us? Okay, please let the record show that no one else is coming up. So I'm going to go ahead and close the public comments section. And commissioners, in front of you, you have a resolution. Then we're going to go ahead and move on. There's two parts to it, A and B. I'm going to go ahead and suggest that we just vote on it together with one vote. And so it would approve or deny the conditional use permit and approve or deny the CEQA permit. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to read this, and then we're going to do one vote for both, and either it's an approved or it's a denial. So in front of you, you have resolution number 2017-5. This is a resolution of the City of Ridley Planning Commission approving conditional use permit application 2017-3 and the related environmental assessment number 2017-4. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for a vote we'll make a vote. Could I get a second on that so we can move forward on this?
If I may, Chairman, sure. If you are okay with the amended conditions, if you could include that in your motion. If you move to approve, then.
Right. And we were given an amended conditions from Ms. Moore, so that would include in this vote as well. So it would include the original plus the revisions that we were given. So keep that in mind. So could I get a second to move forward on a vote?
I second the vote.
Okay, we have a second. So let's go ahead and do a roll call on the vote, please.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
All right, so congratulations. Thank you for that. It's still going to move forward to the City Council, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so that concludes.
Do they vote on the same?
They will actually only be voting on the license itself.
Right, so the CUP is the CUP is approved, but we're going to wait on the ABC approval by the council, so that would be a different time. So thank you. You guys are welcome to stay. We have more things to talk about, but if not, you can go ahead and go home. So if not, you can stay and continue with our awesome meeting. So that concludes the public hearing. Now we're in item number two, which is director's report, which he is not here, but we have Ellen. So Ellen, do we have...
So I don't have much. I can
okay.
just tell you that that we're very busy. And now that CID is gone, as Robin mentioned at our previous meeting, or at least now that the settlement has occurred, we're getting a lot more inquiries and we're getting people wanting to move forward on projects, including the Blossom Trail project. We will be meeting with the developers there next month, and that's the one on Manning and Zumwalt. So we're having a lot of conversations with people, and we... inquiries, and I think that's all I can say right now, unfortunately, but so we will be fairly busy with meetings right now, or in this month and potentially next month, but we might not have as many after that, or for the next few months, but probably next year things will pick up a little bit more, beginning of next year. That's all I had for that report. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ellen. And future agendas, we have scheduled for the 17th of August. Is that still a go? A CUP?
Correct. I believe the notice was published today in the paper for this conditional use permit. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay. The conditional use permit, since it is public record, and it was posted in the notice today. So this is actually a 20-unit apartment complex on Dinuba Avenue. So there's currently a yellow single family home. If you can see, visualize that, and it's on a large lot, but I think there's structures that are either being taken down or have been taken down.
It's not vacant. I mean, it's not occupied, is it?
It is occupied,
oh, okay.
Actually.
It does not look occupied. I'm sorry.
Right.
Adjacent to that, did we talk about that property one
really
time?
Lives there?
Oh, I don't think so. It's on the northern side of Dinuba. It's on the corner of Dinuba and Hemlock.
Right, and there's apartments to the right, and then there's apartments to the left, and kind of goes around. Yeah.
Yep, so that is, I don't think we have talked about it before. We had initial meetings with the property owner in the past, but it didn't move forward until recently. The owner is Yanez Construction, so they are a local construction company, so they will... so normally apartment complexes they can be approved administratively by staff. In this case, there are some requests to deviate from development standards, and so that's why it has to go to Planning Commission. It's considered a planning development if they want to deviate.
It causes setback?
Correct, yeah, for
now,
setbacks.
Weren't we going to have talking about setbacks, weren't we also going to have a workshop on that?
We're going to have a workshop, yes. So on August 17th, we do plan on having a workshop about carports in the setback. So to provide a little bit of background, and if you want to drive around town and take a look at some of the, we will provide pictures and just have a discussion about that. But it is when we recently adopted a public nuisance ordinance, which did come to you guys, I think that was about a year ago, little less than a year ago. And one of the things that was on there was that there wouldn't be any more tarps allowed, because people would kind of use tarp canopies or something in the
front yard. Well, front yard, or like to extend the garage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, right now it's common to have a full garage, so then you want to shade your car in the driveway, and so that comes in the form of a tarp canopy. So we prohibited those in the public nuisance
ordinance, so now code enforcement is going around and looking at
that and trying to get those to be taken down because they are unsightly. So then what happens is a metal carport goes up
in the same spot.
So those do require permits, but sometimes people don't come in to get permits. So now we've kind of created another thing that happened, like you close one door, you open a window, that kind of thing. So so that's just something that we would like to discuss.
Okay.
And we'll bring pictures
and see what where we should go
forward, and then you guys would provide a recommendation to us.
And are we just doing that along with the planning commission meeting, or are we? Is it a separate?
Yeah, it'll be it'll be on the same day. We'll probably do the conditional use permit first in case they don't want to hear about carports, and so then they can leave. So so we will have those on the during the same day.
Providing dinner that night.
I'm on it.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. So that's just kind of a brief summary. If there's any questions, let me know. And then just as further background, there's usually a 20-foot setback between the property line and a house. So usually garages are set back 20 feet, and so that's where the canopies and stuff are ending up. So yeah. if it's 20 feet, or if it's behind the 20 feet, if you have a garage that's set back really far and you put something there, you can do that, get a permit, and there you go. But just the issue is that they are in the setback because most garages are 20. Yeah, if you're interested, we see them all over town. Go ahead and
take a look and see what you
think. And we'll also provide pictures at the workshop.
All right, and that's the 17th.
Are we addressing on that? I think I'm permitted to discuss that. The apartment, wasn't that an issue in terms of a setback for that too?
The main reasons, or I think the two reasons is coming forward, is that they, since it has three sides of the property are streets, so that means that you need, according to our code, you have a larger setback. So it actually goes from, it goes 15 feet, so you have to do 15,
so then it decreases the actual building.
So I've been thinking about that, and my fear, and we can we discuss this?
I think we'll probably,
because it's going to be too late to discuss that that night, and it'll be after the class also. But my fear is setting precedents for this, and at what point, and where do we use the verbiage to allow the variations from property to property, because then, you know.
And what's the point of the setback?
Yeah, exactly. Because if we allow it to happen, we're setting a precedence. And then, so what's the language to prevent us from to rebuttal that when it comes up again? I guess is really what I'm asking, and that's one of my concerns.
Sure,
it's something
makes
that
sense.
We can discuss.
Yeah, it's something we can discuss. But I can just respond right now to say that we have allowed it in the past in the form of planned unit developments, and we wouldn't present it if we didn't think that it was acceptable in terms of life safety or things like that. So that's kind of the threshold there, is that if we think if the building's going to be too close to something, we wouldn't recommend it. That's kind of where the line is drawn for that. And if it's a difficult looking lot that you have to work to configure, that's brought into it. But yeah, it all just kind of depends. But if we don't think it's going to work, then we wouldn't recommend.
And you guys would do your due diligence before that, before we even come to this. Okay.
And it's routed around to different departments. So we'll check with fire, check with building. If you have any further questions about that and setting precedents and that sort of thing, you're welcome to discuss it with me before the meeting and at the meeting.
All right. Thank you, Ellen. All right, guys.
Thank you, Ellen.
I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting.